The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is about. I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have learned from my Father. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you and commissioned you to go forth and bear fruit, and your fruit must remain, so that what you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is my command, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like you to notice this plant that I talked about last week, representing me or representing you. It's improved a lot in a week. Really, there's no rough patches there, very visible at least. So somebody did a little pruning during the course of the week. It helps a lot. Prune away those things that are lifeless and not providing any energy. And we talked about it last week. Remember the three important ingredients in the gospel, two of them last week and the third one coming this week. The first one, making your home in me as I have made mine in you. Telling us where he has made a home and inviting us to be reciprocal, to be responsive to his invitation. Where he has made a home, let us live there also with him. And the result, he said, of doing that is that my joy will be in you and your the result of that will be that you will be my disciples and you will bear much fruit. And the third experience was, as a result of being my disciples and bearing much fruit, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. The idea of joy is pretty important because it's not something the world provides. It's not something that possessions or control or manipulation provides. It's purely the gift of the Spirit, joy. My joy in you doesn't mean that you won't experience hardship or adversity or difficulty. You will. But you will still be able to maintain a semblance of joy and balance through that experience. How important is that? And while last week in the gospel, the preeminent word was abide or stay with or be in me or have a home in me, this week the word is love. Amen. The first two lines of the gospel, he uses the word love or loves five times. You get the impression it's pretty important. And then an additional four times throughout the next seven verses. So, in the eight verses, in the eight verses that we have, he uses the word love nine times. That gives us a little clue, the importance of love. That it's about love. That it's about love. And it's not just some kind of romantic love. We think of romantic love for the most part because that's the way we are conditioned. What has been written about love and what we see in the movies and what Hollywood produces and what's in the soap operas, that seems to be the sense that we get of loving and how to love. And some of them are very good. And romantic love, very good. Because Hey, the human race would be extinct long ago if it weren't for romantic love, right? Absolutely. It'd be totally out of commission. So it's a good starting point, but it's not the place to stay. We got to take it a lot further up the road than just romantic love. And one of the problems for us in life is we tend to kind of romanticize so much that everything, we'd like it to fit into that category, but it doesn't work that way. Oftentimes, people do the same thing in their religious experience. They expect it to be a kind of a romantic love relationship. They say things like, well, I pray to God, I talk to him all the time, but I don't hear anything, right? It's a pretty common phenomenon. I don't hear him saying anything, or I don't feel his prompting or his movement. Not a surprise, it's a core issue in religion. And we like to bypass it, but you can't bypass it. We like to bypass it, well, try harder. That's a good one, isn't it? Try harder. Well, it doesn't work, we know it. But in reality, the other side of it is, we'd like a shortcut, because we like shortcuts to the journey, right? We map quest it or whatever, right? What's the shortest route? Hey, shortest route is sometimes a lot more troublesome. The longest way around is the safest way home. You remember that one? You didn't have that growing up? My God. Always was told that, the longest way around. We tried to take shortcuts through the fields or whatever and get through some of the briars. Remember, the longest way around, safest way home. A lot of wisdom. And so as we look at that reality, there is no real shortchanging. Let me tell you about Tom. Tom had a pretty good idea, but he wanted to kind of circumvent or shortchange the relationship of love. He decided when he got married that he really loved his wife, Susie, very much, and he wanted to be attentive and devoted to her. And so he developed a relationship with the local florist, Frank. And he said, Frank, I need you to be really attentive to this and do me a big favor. He said, every year, he said, I want you to send a nice bouquet of flowers to my wife on her birthday, and he gave him the date, and also on our anniversary. That's pretty important. And he gave him the date, and then he said, and just sign the card, your loving husband. It's a great plan for a while. It worked well for a while, and then they were 7 years married, and he came home on the anniversary, and he kissed his wife, as he usually did, and he looked and he said, oh, they're beautiful flowers. Who sent them to you? Busted. Really. There is no shortcut. We can't pass off to somebody else the responsibility of loving, and we can't circumvent it. Hey, that's loving, sacrificing, being committed to. And the challenge for us is, how do we enter ourselves into this mystery of love? Not just being passive, but being engaged. A young man had great difficulty struggling with the question of faith and belief in God. And so he heard of this monk in the monastery. And he was noted for being a holy man who had a great sense of integration. And he decided, I'm going to go and visit this holy man. Maybe he can help me and answer my questions. And so he arrived to visit with this holy monk, Frank. And he said, hey, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, sure. And he said, what evidence do you have for believing in God? And he said, because I love him and he loves me, and I experience him in my relationship every day. And he thought for a little while and he said, you experience him every day, yes. And he said, how can I experience him like that? How is that possible, he said. And the monk said to him, when we love, we experience God. And doubt vanishes like the early morning mist before the sun. And he was pretty surprised and intrigued at that. And then he said, but how can you do that? And the monk said, by acts of kindness, by acts of loving. Acts of loving always precede the awareness of love. Acts of love. He said to him, try to love your neighbors, love them actively and unceasingly. As you learn to love them more and more, you will become more and more convinced of the existence of God. He said to him, this is tried and true, it's been tested. The monk was right, because it's exactly what we read in the second reading today. The monk was merely echoing the words of St. John. My dear friends, let us love one another because love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's pretty simple. Well, intellectually, it's pretty difficult in my heart. Because I am not prepared to do that kind of work oftentimes. The church, often described as a hospital, contains too many patients who fail to get well. The church, often described as a school, contains too many pupils who fail to learn. Is this the church's witness to the world? Sick and ignorant disciples who know not the Christ, whom they claim as Lord. It's pretty important. In the description of the church and the hospital, we don't learn and we don't get well because maybe, we are not willing to do the work. It takes a lot of work. Love is a lot of working. It's not just a romantic feeling. It's a decision. Love is a decision more than a feeling. It's a decision to do. Let me give you an example. When I was growing up, I really wanted to play the piano, just like Tab. And to be able to really, tickle the ivories. But I wanted to do a lot of other things as well. But my dad provided me an opportunity, and so he duly sent me to piano lessons, and I would go to town and practice a little bit, and then I'd come home and have to practice, and it was boring. Going through, playing the scales, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, do, dum, do, on and on. And my brothers and sisters would knock at the door and they'd say, you know anything else? And then I would be locked in there for extended time period to do my practice. And it was really very restrictive. And then on my way to piano lessons, I would see a soccer match going and my friends would be playing. And man, I'd drop my book bag with my music and get into the game and forget about my lesson, sometimes intentionally, and just keep going and playing. And then one day my father met the music professor downtown and he said, Sean, he said, there's no point in paying me for these lessons for Jerry because he just doesn't show up. And he's not willing to practice. Wow, he hit it right on the mark. Man, I wish I could play the piano and sit down there and really enjoy it. I might go back and do it later. But I wish I had availed of the opportunity, because he said it right. It's about practice. It's about practice. I could sit in front of the piano and say, God, make me a piano player. Every Sunday, I could come faithfully every Sunday and say, Lord, make me a piano player, please. Help me to play the piano. But it doesn't happen. I can come to church every Sunday and say, Lord, make me a loving person, but it ain't going to happen unless I'm willing to practice. And one of the struggles that we have in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds is, yeah, I want to love him, but I don't want to love you. Well, some of you, or this one or that one. The monk was right. He said, hey, love your neighbor, not some of them, but all of them, and practice. And I promise you, you'll experience God. Have no doubt about it. He couldn't be more clear in the instruction and the teaching. The Holy Father says, in the joy of the gospel, he says, being a disciple means being constantly ready to bring the love of Jesus to others. And this can happen unexpectedly and in any place. Lord knows that's true. It can happen totally unexpectedly. It can happen sometimes to people because they are in treatment for addiction or whatever, and they can have an overwhelming sense of that awareness, and it just comes to them. It can happen in a variety of other ways. I'd like to give you an example. It happens by really being open and by being willing to let go of. Last Saturday, I went to visit Rodney and Jane, and they happened to be at Francine's house because the girls were taking some of their clothing and bringing it to Jane and Rodney's house because they were going to stay there. And most of you understand what happened, that Bubba, their son-in-law, had shot their daughter Francine and then turned the gun on himself. And it generates such a huge array of feelings, really deep, intense feelings. And I went to visit with Rodney and ask him, how are we going to address this really at the funeral? Because I don't want to sidestep it. We sidestep issues like that a whole lot in our Christian faith, and we say, well, God this and God that. Doesn't bring us any distance along the way. And I wanted to speak about it truthfully and honestly, and the tragedy that it was and the other nuances of that tragedy. And Rodney said, I agree with you 100%, but the girls are very stuck in the reality of being angry at their dad for his actions. And I said, that is perfectly understandable. Perfectly, but we got to pray for them, because I've met people in my life and they say, never, I will never ever forgive that person because of this. What a terrible tragedy. I will never forgive them. How can I know this if that becomes my stance? I can understand how it happens to a person. But they condemn themselves to live in that space for the rest of their lives. Life continues and has got to continue. And so, condemning myself to live in this specific space. And I said to Rodney, we went back to their house, to Rodney and Jane's house then, and we said we'd pray about it and see how the Lord would bring it about. And then 11 o'clock, well, it was actually 10:57, Rodney sent me a text, and I talked to him about sharing this with you. He said, let me first tell you that Matthew, that is their son, Jane and Rodney's son, he got me off to the side, and he told me that he wanted to pay a visit to Bubba's wake. He said that Bubba and he had always been good friends, and that until the last few years, all was good. He asked that I not tell Jane or the girls. And I gave him my blessing and told him I was proud of him. And then he said, I left it at that. And then tonight, Jane called me aside and told me that the girls asked if they could go to Bubba's services as well. Naturally, we said yes, and that we would go with them. And so on Monday, we went to Morton, Mississippi for Bubba's funeral, and on Tuesday, we gathered here for Francine's funeral. Doesn't mean that everything is okay, and it doesn't mean that everybody loves everybody and understands all of the details, but it most assuredly means that we are going in the right direction, and that we are practicing, and that you are practicing, and thank you for the witness. Why would we not say that's what it is about? We have this intensity in our own selves. I want to know God, and I want to love God and be loved by Him. But I am not willing at times to put forward what it takes. I'd love to be a piano player, Frank. And maybe I will yet.
Wish you luck.
Thank you. Thank you. But the only way I can do it is practice. The only way I can know Him is practice. I cannot have a personal relationship with Him devoid of practice.